Yes, sorry, Avery. Again, don't ask your mother what that means. Two, I don't know if I've ever heard you laugh like that before, so that was really good.
That was my Dave Letterman. I was doing my Letterman, you know, the toss the...
So let's just go from long barrels to your drawing the conclusion to my mustache to Ron Jeremy. So so here's what's happening. I don't know if the camera can really pick this up. I don't think it can based on what you said. So as you know, I've always had like a beard or like some scruff. I still have that. But this past week, I thought I would get a little creative and not trim my mustache as much. So, okay. So I don't know if the camera's picking this up really well or not. I'm assuming it's not because of what you said.
So just in case the audience is concerned, we're going to make this the album art so they can get this.
Oh, we're not. But we'll somehow include it.
I think I should do the edit this week.
I don't think so. But thank you for offering. So here's what's happening. So usually I keep a beard and it's pretty short. I basically trim it down every week and then clean it up throughout the week. And this past week when I was trimming it down, I thought, you know what? Let's not trim down the mustache area. Let's just trim down the rest and see what happens for a week. So it's not a motorcycle mustache. It's not handlebars. It doesn't go past my lips. Definitely doesn't go down to my chin. It's just the
it goes down. I don't.
No, that's just, it's just the way my hair grows. It really just goes to
it
here.
Really, you goes down to your audience. Chin line.
It really doesn't. No, it's just how. The darkest part is just the true mustache. Speaking of mustaches,
Instagram.com/JBraver. I'm going to post it and we'll let everyone vote.
You have a mustache too, so I don't know why I am getting picked on for my stash when you rock a stash.
I don't look like a late 90s porn star. What is
it? That's your fault.
Like, no, it's not. That's not a compliment. I didn't mean that nicely.
You are literally the one sitting there in a sleeveless shirt with slick back hair, and I'm the one that looks like a 90s porn star.
I just didn't know if in honor of DJT and his recent felony, if you were trying to like pay homage to him or, you know, I don't know.
I'd be paying homage to Stormy, right? Yeah. Because she's like, she literally took one for the team.
Oh, God. Not a big one, though.
So, yeah, so that's what's happening here. But speaking of your boy Don, not your boy Don, Garrett's boy Don. Good. Also, sad. And I don't actually care that a former president got convicted of any felonies. That's not what I mean when I say sad.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean.
What I mean when I say sad is no one gives a fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like we now officially live in a society where even a felony won't keep you from voting for someone or even thinking differently about someone. Now, mind you, this person, he can't vote. Like, he doesn't have the right to vote until he serves his time, assuming, you know, he ever does, right? He's going to appeal, and it'll be in appeals for years.
No, did you see that? That's not real. In Florida, you actually can continue to vote until the appeal's over.
Well, right. No, what I'm saying is he can do everything until it's all done, but assuming that his felony conviction sticks, he won't be able to vote until he serves out his sentence.
Right.
And if he continues to live in Florida, it will also mean until he serves out a sentence, pays all his fines and dues, and then the state board has to vote on him to be able to come back and vote, because that's just how they treat every felon in Florida. So it's a very unbiased system. That's a whole separate topic we can talk about.
That's related.
But he loses his right to vote, but he can be president.
Right.
He can very possibly be imprisoned as president. So you can run for president, but you can't vote for president if you're a felon, which doesn't make sense. And I don't think he's going to get served jail time. Yeah. He won't. I actually really hope he does. From a human perspective, I think the judge should, because just not because of the crime, but because of the way he handled, you know, all of the just the you know, breaking of gag orders and the things he would say about the judge's daughter, about the jurors, about the trial, about everything. Yeah. But the problem is, if he is sentenced jail time, it just becomes a big political storm, right? So it's almost like damned if you do, damned if you don't. But it's just, I mean, look, it's just funny that of all the things that he is being charged for, the one that he's found guilty for is basically fucking a hooker and trying to pay her, or sorry, a porn star, and trying to pay her off right before an election so that it doesn't hurt your odds. Like, that's the thing that gets him of all, like, don't, never mind the insurrection, the documents case. Like, really? Like, none of these are the ones that get him. It's the porn star one? Right. The hush money? It's just interesting. But, like, hey, you know, karma's a motherfucker. And, you know, his ass is guilty. It is, like, for our society and where we are as a country today, it's shameful.
So I guess that's the thing I want to unpack is, I welcome a world where people have different viewpoints on policy issues and who they think will do the best job of running the country, right? We're a representative democracy. I'm fine with that. I don't think up until 2016 that there was any time in my life in which I thought a presidential candidate could do something or be accused or be even entangled in something so unbecoming of the office, I'll say, and still have any chance. Like, there was at least a belief in me that there was something reverent about that office. Where do you place that change? Is that Clinton and Lewinsky? Is that Bush Gore Supreme Court ruling? Like, where societally did we say we're actually good here?
Yeah, I actually think we have a little bit of amnesia as a country when it comes to that. JFK, who was highly regarded as maybe one of the best presidents ever, had an affair with Marilyn Monroe. Like, that, like, these aren't, this isn't the first.
Yeah, totally.
And even if there's not a lot of reporting prior, it's hard to believe that in, you know, the decades and, you know, maybe centuries before him, other presidents never had affairs or never did anything, you know, of the sort. Now, the difference is, you know, when you look back in history, probably the biggest glaring example of misconduct by a president was with Nixon and Watergate. Mm-hmm. You know, he got caught, and he and his party did the amicable thing, right? He resigned as president to protect the party, right? To protect the sanctity of the Republican Party. And I think, you know, Gerald Ford, in return, did the right thing and pardoned him, right? It's not about, in that era, it wasn't about trying to convict someone and throw them in jail and prove a point, right? It was more about, like, you screwed up, you owned it, you did the right thing, and, you know, you're forgiven. Like, you're not just a Joe Schmo, you're a president of the United States. It's a bad look for our country when a president is convicted of anything. You're supposed to be the highest office, right? Clinton Lewinsky was, I think, the first showings of what the future would be, right? Now, granted, like, he messed up. It was in the White House. He lied about it publicly. Like, he did a lot of things wrong, right? And so I think, to some extent, the Republican Party was justified in going after him because he didn't own up to it, right? He lied about it. But I really think it's not about the morals and ethics That's not how it started. I think it started with hatred. And where I remember, because, you know, just, again, we all have amnesia when we think about history. For me, it really started with Obama. And it started with this, and it wasn't even a political thing, I think, at first, this natural hatred that there is a person who is president who is not white and has a foreign sounding name. And that's when it really started to rise up. This segment of our population really started to get angry and get vocal and get loud. And for 8 years, they really pushed and pushed and pushed, and they made their way into government. And then you started to have some participants on the Republican side that would basically echo and mimic these actions and these words. And Trump is the ultimate megaphone for this, right? I actually, here's the thing, like, I think Trump is a very intelligent person. Not book smart, not the kind of person you invite over to dinner. He is really good at getting people. He's very good at manipulating. Mm-hmm. He's very good at convincing. And he's very good at egging things on, adding fuel to the fire, right? When he first started running for president back in 2016, you know, he said, and I don't know what stage it was, but he said, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and kill someone and nothing would happen to me. And he was right. He was right. Not because he wouldn't get convicted, but because he is really good at that. He's really good at saying one thing and getting his listeners and his followers to believe what he's saying. And to be honest, we have a pretty ignorant society as a whole. Not all, but there's a majority, a big section of our population here in America that are pretty ignorant. They believe whatever they believe. And he knows how to appeal to those people. Like, it's ridiculous, you know? And this is where I hate our political system. I want our political system to be the type of system where if you are, for example, in Congress and one person is talking about something, the other side should literally be able to just stand up and say, you are full of shit, you're lying, where's the evidence? That's not how our system works. Our system works on one side says one thing, another side says another thing, completely independent, and we leave it at that. And then the media basically gets to just deliver whatever content they want, and the people really only listen to what happens in the media.
So,
and that's where we are today.
So where's the blame go? Like, if you think about that observation, right? The purpose of journalism is to hold accountable the truth of politicians, companies, everyone, right? So is the burden on the media for not doing that? Is the burden on capitalism for valuing views that create the Fox Newses and the InfoWars of the world? Is this just where we were always going because of the internet? Like, where do you espouse that responsibility lies?
I think it's easy to put the blame on the media, and they do deserve some of the blame, but I think the reason why I'm hesitant in saying that is because for every Fox News, there's a CNN.
Sure.
And for every Fox News and CNN, there's an NPR.
I'm obviously sharing it.
Right, and so like...
In that?
Yeah, no, of course. And I mean, and you and I think have very similar bias and opinions, but I guess my point is, like, you can't just say Fox News is the problem because nobody has to listen to Fox News. They can switch a channel and listen to CNN or switch a channel and listen to BBC or Al Jazeera or NPR and get more of a, like, a centrist view. Even though NPR is still leaning left a little bit, they're more central than CNN and Fox News. So media does have an obligation. They are not always living up to their obligation. You know, I actually just watched a clip before we started recording from Jon Stewart's segment Monday night on The Daily Show. And he actually talked about media's obligation. And he talked about a couple of really good points. The primary one being that media has this responsibility to look backward. But instead, what they do is they look forward. Nobody knows what the future is going to be. They spend a lot of time asking questions like, what would you do if? What will you do when? Instead of saying, you know, you said this just now, well, that's not accurate. You're lying because you said the opposite. Like, they don't call people out on their bullshit.
But why?
Right?
Like that.
Neither side really is. Because it's not about journalism anymore. It's about ratings. Because media's obligation when it comes to television, when it comes to press, is to make money. And to be fair, like, Fox News knows who their audience is. And they know what their audience wants to hear. And so they pour fuel on that fire. And CNN knows who their audience is. And et cetera, et cetera. Which is why, like, again, for me personally, I'm a big NPR fan, even though they do lean a little left, but because it's public radio. They're not, you can't go to a cable channel to watch them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're more public. And I also really like BBC and Reuters and Al Jazeera because not even US-based. So at least they're giving a non-US political perspective on what's happening. So that's part one. The other side of this is, I actually believe that this isn't anything new. Historically, as a nation, we've always had hatred. We've always had discrimination. We've always had bigotry. We've always had particular segments of the population that feel empowered, entitled, rightful to what they think is theirs. And we have fought with this for so long as a country. And you can look at key moments throughout history where this is evident. Civil rights, gay rights, women's rights. Today it's trans rights. You know, and we've gone through this thing, this roller coaster ride of like, we have to go really low and then we come back up, right? And then we do something big because we understand that what we're doing was stupid because the power, the voice of the good outweighs, or, you know, the voice of the bad, right? And so this takes me back to the Obama era, right? Again, you've got a black president who's got an Arabic name, who is president for 8 years, and you have this segment of the population who's always had this hatred, but now the hatred becomes louder, and then you have this person come in with a big megaphone that says, take my megaphone and say what you want. Whatever you say, I'll repeat. And that is why we're where we are today. Like, that voice has always been there. It's just now the loudest it's ever been. And it's unfortunate. You know, I was listening to NPR on my way home today, and they played a clip of a Trump press conference the day after, you know, his guilty verdicts. And he was talking about immigration, and he said something, I'm paraphrasing here, along the lines of, you know, like, we have to shut down our borders. You know, we've got people coming in from prison, from mental institutions, murderers, druggies, coming in from Africa, Asia, and South America. And that was it. And I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, that's funny. He didn't say Europe. Wonder why he didn't say Europe. Maybe it's because the majority of Europeans are white. Like, it is there. It is, even if it's an unconscious bias, it is there. And you can't deny it. This isn't the first time he's ever said it. It won't be the last time he says it. And it's like, these are the things, these are the little things that, like, we don't call out. We are enabling it to happen. And unfortunately, our Democratic Party, they're a bunch of fucking sissies, dude. Like, they, like, the Republicans are the bullies. They know how to push buttons. They know how to say the things that are going to be repeated and publicized. And the Democrats, like, you know, I think we talked about this before, but, like, I love Michelle Obama. I loved when she said, when they go low, we go high. I get that. But I think, like, the Democrats at some point need to just man up and say, like, enough of this high road bullshit. Like, we're done. You're done taking my lunch money.
Skinny fries.